You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Peter Burns in for Paul Feinbaum, Hour 4, this fine radio program. 855-242-PAUL is the number. That's 855-242-7285. You can always hit me up on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. Been talking about some of the different storylines that are coming out. I see Bruce and John in New Orleans. Get your phone calls here in a bit. But I did see this tweet earlier that kind of caught me off guard in the middle of the show. This is from Dan Wolken over at USA Today. And he says, quote, just got off a call with Mark Emmert, had a small group of reporters, or with a small group of reporters. He wants a thorough rethinking of the NCAA structure and governance with more power handed down to conferences on the heels of the Alston ruling, NIL, et cetera. More details to come. So let's go to the source. Dan, you were on that phone call. Walk me through how this happened and your takeaway from it.
Well, I really think if you just take a step back, this is mostly about the pressure the NCAA is under right now, especially from an antitrust perspective. If you look at the Supreme Court ruling in the Alston case, it really does leave the NCAA exposed to more lawsuits. And the NCAA is on pretty shaky ground right now from an antitrust standpoint. And so where I think this is going and kind of reading between the lines is the NCAA in the future is going to be an organization that puts on championship events and they're going to manage the playing rules and kind of the basic stuff. But most of the rest of the governance of the sports is going to be handed off. And I think a lot of that's going to be done either at the conference level or, you know, I think he even talked about sport by sport. You could have a system where, you know, football is run under one federation. Basketball is run under one federation. You know, and then tennis is under its own federation so that everyone deals with their own set of issues. And I just think that's probably the most appropriate way to build college sports at this point because of the amount of money you've got in the high-profile sports and the fact that you've got college athletes now able to make money off their name, image, and likeness. So many of these decisions and issues, you know, the NCAA just doesn't really need to be involved in trying to manage every little piece of this. I mean, this is an organization that used to worry about cream cheese on bagels, right?
Right.
And now when you're talking about college athletes going and making deals to endorse product or businesses or whatever, they just can't be in the role of managing all of that. It's impossible. And so I think this is going to be a sort of a move for the NCAA toward a hands-off approach on a lot of things. And it's going to take time. Like, this is not something you snap your fingers and do, but this was Emmert today kind of laying the groundwork publicly to say this is what we need to move toward.
So I'm fascinated. Dan Wolken, USA Today, on a phone call with Mark Emmert and discussing name, image, and likeness and all this stuff. And Dan, if I'm hearing this correctly, I mean, in essence, I envisioned them almost being like, hey, we're a party planner. Like, we throw championship parade, you know, or events, and we all have that infrastructure. We'll do it. But when it comes to enforcing the rules, and we're not touching that any longer. So My first thought is, let's take the University of Tennessee, right? I mean, we just saw that with, you know, there were allegations going on with that organization. Josh Heupel, I'm sure, will be asked about that coming up in media days, which, by the way, he was not the head coach for. Jeremy Pruitt was, and they have a new AD. What happens, we think, with infraction cases in enforcement that's, you know, kind of in the pipeline, so to speak, right now?
Well, ultimately, that would be up to the college presidents to decide, hey, listen, these are the sets of issues that we think are important enough that the national office needs to deal with. But most of this stuff, this petty stuff, should be dealt with at a much lower level and, you know, let the conferences decide what they want to do. If they want to suspend certain coaches or whatever, let the conferences do that. You know, obviously there may be issues that are big enough and important enough for the NCAA to get involved, but where that line is drawn, like, that's literally what this discussion is going to be about. And this isn't something that's going to happen in 6 months. Like, this is going to take some time, I would imagine, for the NCAA to figure out, you know, what its role is going to be going forward. But that's where these college presidents are going to have to get in there and say, we just want to wash our hands of this and kick it down to you, Greg Sankey and Jim Phillips and Kevin Warren. So I think that's it's an interesting admission that the NCAA can no longer handle all of this, and we'll see what comes of it.
With that being said, if this does go sport by sport, obviously college football being what everybody is thinking about right now with the season right here, what, a month or so away, that would be arguably the first one to split off? Or, I mean, if you did do it sport by sport, which I think is needed, what do you think that looks like? Is it somebody like a Greg Sankey coming in and going, all right, here's this new quote-unquote college football federation, whatever you're going to call it, the CFF, and it would, you know, basically govern all of it from that point?
Well, in some ways, you already have this. We have the college football playoff, which is not part of the NCAA. It's the college football playoff is the organization that controls most of the revenue for college sports, and it's concentrated in the hands of 130 schools who are part of the FBS, part of their organization. And so I think part of what we have to, like, wrap our minds around is it doesn't make sense to take those 130 schools and have them in the same type of rules environment as, you know, Division II, Division III schools that, you know, don't really they don't really care about football in that way. They're not really part of that conversation. At the same time, like, if you looked at it and say, we're going to have a separate organization for, you know, whatever, gymnastics or soccer or whatever, that allows maybe a school that could potentially compete in that sport an opportunity to do so, rather than, you know, having these strict limits about your Division II, your Division III. Well, maybe there's a Division II school that, you know, could compete at a high level in a couple sports. Well, maybe that this allows them an opportunity to do that. So I think it's a holistic reimagining of everything that we know about the NCAA. But I do think the college football playoff is actually, like, kind of halfway there in terms of they'd be the ones who would manage football.
Right, almost instead of, you know, traditionally the NCAA engineers it, right? Here's the sport, here are the rules. At the end of the day, we'll have the championship. College football playoff, that power structure almost reverse engineers it, right? Like, here's the end of the season right here. Here's everything that goes underneath it. And, oh, by the way, here's how the rules fall underneath that umbrella, which would be absolutely fascinating. With that being said, does the sport, in your mind, look better under that point, look just different? I mean, you know, and I'm just trying to wrap my head around this.
Well, I can only say this. For a long time, like, as long as I've been in this business, it has been a constant source of frustration for, you know, the larger conferences, the bigger schools, to meet their needs because of the fact that they are a minority in the NCAA. From a numbers standpoint, there are way more, you know, tiny schools in the NCAA than there are Alabama, LSU, Texas, Ohio State.
Right.
And so that just sort of creates this fundamental tension. Like, those schools at the top in football and in men's basketball, to a degree, have certain needs and want to be able to run their programs a certain way, and they're restricted from doing it by, you know, these smaller schools that have totally different interests in how they function. And yet they all kind of have to be under this same umbrella, and it creates this tension. And I think, like, this name, image, and likeness thing actually sort of gives people an opportunity to say, boy, it's not only that this is frustrating for us to all try to be under the same rules, like, we just actually can't do it. It's impossible to do it. So we kind of have to do our own thing. And I think you will see the governed structure of the NCAA start to look more like what we've seen the last 2 weeks with name, image, and likeness on a whole host of issues. I think that's kind of where this is going.
Which is basically hands off, which is kind of like, man, we've had enough lawyer fees. We're tapped out here. We're just going to let it go. And it is a little bit of that wild, wild west. Dan, hey, I know it was a late ad, and I know you're super swamped with the schedule, but so I appreciate you hopping on and give us the breaking news on that, man. I appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks.
There it is, Dan Woken, USA Today. It is fascinating, right? I mean, again, I've said that from day one, is I think it took way too long for college athletes to get name, image, and likeness, right? Took way too long to get there. And I'm also upset as hell that it happened this quickly. And the reason why I say that is because this was everyone saying, it needs to happen, it needs to happen, it needs to happen, and then nobody really having a plan on how to actually get it done. And now the NCAA is basically walking away from it. So all of a sudden, all of a sudden, if you got a bad actor, you just saw University of Miami, there's a company called Bring the U Back. What do you think that means? There literally is a fund called Bring the U Back. The person behind it said, I want to bring, you know, the U back to where it's supposed to be. Well, that is like absolutely 1,000% against the NIL law. You're not supposed to have NIL and pay athletes for enticement to go there. And yet, now who's going to enforce that? Doesn't sound like the NCAA is going to do it. You think the ACC is going to step in? You think Florida, the state of Florida, is going to go to Miami University, go, no, you can't do that. They're not going to do that against the state, against a school in their state. It shit is incredible to me. 855-242-PAUL. Let's get off. Let's get in one quick call here. Chris in Alabama. Thanks for joining Peter Burns here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. What's up, Chris?
Hey, PB, how's it going?
Good, bud. How are you, man?
Hey, first of all, I'd like to say I enjoy your radio show in the morning with Chris Doering when you're on there. It's a really good show.
Thanks, man. We'll be doing all week next on SEC Network. We'll be televised each and every morning from Media Day. So thank you.
You make the morning commute more enjoyable. I'd like to give my take on the NCAA taking their hands off the rules for each conference. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. Well, I'm 37. I remember back in the 90s, the SEC, they were a little more lenient. Players could celebrate. They could take their helmets off. Pump up the crowd. I made her bring that back. Bring back the attitude. Bring back the finger guns, the throat slash, and get rid of these silly little rules we have.
You know, it's interesting, and this comes on the heels, Chris, about, and we appreciate the phone call. It comes on the heels of, you know, the Big 12 today stepping in and saying, hey, you can't even do horns down, right? Like, you could do horns down possibly. It may not be a penalty as long as you don't direct it at a player. Like, what are we doing here? We got guys running 25 miles an hour with helmets on, just absolutely causing a cavalcade of chaos on every single tackle. But do not do horns down in front of that player. That could hurt that guy's feelings. And that's taunting. I mean, come on. At some point, you have to keep that personality on it while being respectful as well. Horns down, I'm not quite sure. Now, the throat slashing, the finger guns, I mean, I think there's other ways to show a whole lot of personality and be a little bit more creative than that, but we'll see. Follow me on Twitter at Peter Burns, ESPN. Bruce, John, Greg, your phone call is coming up next here on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Turns in for Paul Feinbaum. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. That's 855-242-7285. Been a fun show today. Trev Alberts, the brand new athletic or director of athletics over at Nebraska, joined us earlier today on the show. He was talking about, hey, I think more teams in a playoff sound pretty good. Mike Bianchi of the Orlando Sentinel, if you missed it, he basically discussed what's going to happen. Florida UCF going to be signing a 2-for-1. Remember Danny White, when he was before he was the athletic director over at Tennessee, was the athletic director at UCF and said, no, I only want to play 1-for-1. You play us in Florida, we'll come down and vice versa. And Scott Strickland was like, not quite. Yeah, if you want to, you're not a Power Five school, and you know, if you want to have a conversation about a 2-for-1, we will do that. Well, guess what? UCF is now interested in doing that now that Danny White's no longer there, and it appears that deal may end up being signed. So I asked a question to all of you: who's your favorite squad out there, and what's a random fun matchup you want to see on the schedule going forward? But you be the AD for the day. 855-242-PAUL is the number. Greg in Mississippi, talk to me, Greg. What do you got?
Hey, Peter, I met you in Doran a couple of years ago at SEC Media Days. I guess you and him are extra largest, so we had to get you a National Championship Baseball T-shirt, you and Mr. Doran. You gave me a golf tip, and you had great coverage up in Omaha. Enjoyed your coverage. I missed you. You were up there the week before the championship series, I believe, you and Miss Lang, but you did good work. And, hey, we'll miss you over there in Hoover, but maybe we'll see you in Nashville for the media days next time. What about Mississippi State? You know, you mentioned Nebraska. Maybe Mississippi State goes to Nebraska, maybe a random matchup, or even I see that they are going to play Washington State. So if Leach is there in 2030, you might see that matchup.
Hey, I tell you what, if Mike Leach is at Mississippi State in 2030 and you see that Hale State, Washington State matchup, things have gone extremely well, I would imagine, for Leach at that point, or at least according to plan, if that's going to be the case. It's interesting because that's one of the reasons why I have fallen in love with the Mississippi State fan base, is because they're just so rabid. Like, I didn't know really anything before I got to the SEC Network. You know, I was born and raised in Baton Rouge, and so I didn't spend that much time around state. And when I lived in Denver before I took the SEC Network job, I kind of looked at it as like, I don't know much about it. And what I realized, it might be one of the most purest fan bases out there. And you had to go – if you went to Omaha, it was incredible, Greg, like you said it. Just, and to see State and Chris Lamonis win that title, damn if it weren't kind of all honorary Bulldogs that day, my friend.
Yeah, Mr. Burns, what was the championship? The attendance was 24,052 the third game. I think it was 52 Vandy fans and 24,000 Mississippi State fans. But I got to ask you real quick, Mr. Burns, because you're the golf man and everything – How do you see this Open Championship? You think Spieth, one of these guys, and you probably a good golfer playing in that Lynx golf. Just tell me, how would you, if you were going to play over there this weekend, how would you go low this weekend? You have a good show, Mr. Burns. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate it. And by the way, Mr. Burns is my dad. He'll probably listen in today. It's great. So I saw Spieth shooting 65 today at Royal St. George, and I've had an opportunity to play in Scotland and Ireland. It's awesome. It's so much fun just keeping the ball low. And you got a pretty damn good leaderboard right now. Ustase then ended up shooting, I think, 64, where he's been fantastic. It seems like he's always kind of the bridesmaid, never the bride. Maybe this is the time that he gets through. But what makes Spieth so good is that he's so good around the greens. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. Like, when you get into windy conditions, it's the people that practice the short game that are going to have a better day than anybody of the great ball strikers, right? And Jordan Spieth is fantastic at that. So that's actually my one swing tip. If you're ever trying to get into golf and you're trying to break 100, everybody's going to go to the driving range. You're going to try to get it done. Don't go to the driving range yet. Until you spend hours upon hours of putting and chipping, that's the most important part of the game. John in New Orleans, no golf tips. I'm out of golf tips, John, but what else I got for you, man?
Peter, you're not going to get any golf tips here. but I tell you a few odd matchups that I would suggest would be a home-and-home maybe with Alabama Northwestern and Alabama with Southwest Louisiana, which is now, I guess, ULL. And then perhaps Alabama North Dakota State. I think each of those would be really interesting to go back and forth. And I know they're probably unrealistic, except for the Northwestern one. But Alabama did play ULL in 91 in Lafayette.
Yeah, and I would, you know, I was looking at that. I tell you what, right now, I would rather I'm not joking when I say this. If I'm Alabama, I would rather play Miami in the opener than Louisiana and Billy Napier's squad. Because I think Billy Napier and the Raging Cajuns, I think they beat Texas week one. Like, I think they return so much of that staff. I think like 96% of their players are coming back, that I love that team. I'm not quite sure if we will see that matchup, but it would be interesting. I can see Alabama Northwestern. Yeah, no, but Alabama Northwestern would be a fun one, especially, you know, that's a program, you know, Pat's been doing a good job getting those Wildcats going.
Yeah, I'm not sure what their capacity is, but look, either ULL or Northwestern, at least, you know, there'd be good food in each of those places. So.
Damn, Skippy. John in New Orleans would know, man. We appreciate the phone call, John. Thank you. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Let's get one more here before break. Bruce is in Mississippi. What's happening, Bruce?
Hey, Pete, how are you, man?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. So I was listening earlier, and I really liked the idea of the Nick Saban rush pro scenario. But that's not even an option, because we all know Saban would smack rush. But there's one thing I do not think Saban would do, and I wanted to call and get your thoughts on it. So we all know Rush Probst has been a pretty good coach throughout his career in high school. You know, he shows up in the office every day. He's got many coaching abilities and skills that he's able to provide to his team. But do you think the man would be able to take control of not only one program but two programs at one time, as if he was like living, I don't know, a double life, some would say, and just be able to lead two programs to not success to the highest level, but just be able to delegate tasks? Because a lot of times you see it on the film with him, it's almost as if he's playing offense and defense, being in two places at one time. And I just wanted to call and kind of get your thoughts on that.
Bruce in Mississippi, two teams at the same time, man. I'll tell you, thank you for the phone call. I will tell you this. I love the characters in our footprint, in the Southern footprint. That's about all I'll say about Rush Probst, is that there takes all different type characters to tell the book, and especially of athletics in the South. And Rush is definitely going to have a chapter, and I'll leave it at that. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. 855-242-7285. Want to hear about some of the more of those random matchups that you want. Also, Got to talk about something that no one has discussed when it comes to name, image, and likeness. I'll tell you what that is when we return here on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.